Then I continue to read from the book UFO Contact from Planet Akkart, which I think is an important book to understand the situation that Earth is in right now regarding overpopulation and so on. We had come to chapter 3, and I begin to read from chapter 3 then, an explanation of the incident. They left me alone with that man. I thought inside my head, is there any news, good or bad? Then he looked at me with a frank smile and said, come, in German. Followed by me, we went down a short corridor until we were in front of a big door, which after passing through brought us to a narrow street, some 6 meters wide, which was super active with pedestrians. It is not necessary for me to say that every small detail presented to my senses left me so stupefied that I did not notice the voice near me on a certain occasion. In that place, I was no different from a robot that say hard and felt, accepting all as an imposition, albeit of my own volitude. I scarcely realized that I was here obeying all that was indicated for me to do. I desired desperately to know where I was, with whom this treated, but to ask questions to whom, as all those surrounding me would not understand, and vice versa. Among innumerable things, two in particular attracted my weak attention at that moment. The slow movement of the mass of humanity and the resplendence emitted by the walls of those edifices, which almost blinded me at first. Little by little, however, I became accustomed and could then make out the variety of colors, with the exception of the black and the white that I knew. They had all the colors. We proceeded for several blocks without encountering a single vehicle. A whole world of people on foot. What a sight! They knew nothing of my presence among them, as they passed me without noticing any difference between me and them. I wore the cape and a type of cloth cap. My vestments, however, were completely different from theirs, as well as with the footwear. At a certain moment, when we found ourselves between two medium-sized buildings, I looked up above and must confess I nearly died from fright. The sky was filled with aerial vehicles, which made me think they were aerial vehicles about to attack the defenseless people en masse, people who moved so peacefully in those narrow streets. Observing more carefully, I saw that their attitudes did not appear hostile, since they came and went on all sides. They were not like any airplanes I already knew. Suddenly one of them descended straight above one of the buildings. With that, I put my two hands to my eyes as I closed and covered them, so as not to see the crash into the building. That was a sure to result. Then I felt a hand on my shoulder, and opening my eyes to look up, saw the mysterious machine was hovering at the upper terrace of the building. Two persons calmly disembarked, which seemed to me to be a married couple. In front of me, they met my companion with a friendly smile on their lips. I noticed that he wanted to explain something then. Twice he opened his mouth, but no sound came out. I could from this that he did not know more than the three words previously pronounced in the German language. He gave me two pats on the back as if to say, "Be calm," and motioned for me to accompany them. I followed, a bit giddy over what was happening. We turned a corner and proceeded some 15 meters, and there entered a 4 or 5 story building through a large open portal that was standing open, and it reminded so after we passed. We went down a short corridor and came to a room of regular size, well furnished. We crossed through it and came to another corridor, which led us to a back room of the building. Once there, they indicated to me with gestures a room which could have been a prison or a dormitory. I never thought to investigate at the moment, and without hesitation went right in. They closed the door and left. I remained standing completely bewildered by all this, since I had been treated as a prisoner, and moments later as a guest with all honors. The room was very similar to the other already mentioned, only it was more spacious, and upon investigation was found to be only one room, also having a bathroom attached. Since it had a bathroom, I undressed and bathed. Now a new deception awaited me, since the water seemed to be gas. It was so light. I had the impression that one had to use a bucket of that water ladle out with a dipper while standing, not spouted out. I had taken my bath, and after dressing I heard a noise at the door. As it opened, I saw in the doorway my friend who had brought me there, accompanied by a young man who carried a bundle of clothes in his arms, which he deposited on the table and then left. Then the other came up to me and made signs that I should dress myself in them. I nodded my head in the affirmative, and he smiled as he retired. I walked over to the table and began to examine the clothes. The first piece that I touched was a trouser similar to a culotte, of normal length, that reached to a little below the knees. The second was a shirt of blue color with a big white collar, rounded and quite long. This opening in front, instead of buttons, had a sliding fastener. But what I found exquisite were the sleeves. Since from the shoulder to a little below the elbow, they were completely covered with embroidery and fringes, and from there to the cuffs, so narrow that to allow little passage for the hands. I thought to myself, if I was to make a shirt like this, instead of so much embroidery, I would put more cloth into the shirt. I was trying to dress myself as I had been ordered. I adjusted my new garments and tried to think of a way to see them together. And finally, the pants with no bottoms to the legs. These seem to be of cloth and not leather as I first thought. Completing this, I took a look at myself thinking, open the curtain and see the clown, and began to laugh at myself. I was thinking if I came home in this suit, they would certainly think me crazy and laugh much at my expense. At what passes here as a fine dress for meetings, walks, or any other thing. I was still adjusting to my new suit when my new friend knocked on the door and then entered. He looked at me from foot to head and gave a smile of satisfaction, as if to say, "It is very good." He came up to me in front and put his hand on my shoulder, nodding his head two or three times in the affirmative without pronouncing a single word. I noticed that he wanted desperately to speak with me. I remained also planted in front of him, not being able to say anything. I thought at that time that a good friend I could have in a person of this man, if we could only understand each other. He was of moderate age and medium stature, but a little heavier, and always with an almost juvenile smile on his face. Then, with much formality, with his hand on my arm, he led me out of the room. We crossed the short corridor that led us into the room mentioned earlier, but I almost did not recognize it, because when we had passed through there before, I saw only the movement of people there. I had not noticed whether they were men or women, because I was much alarmed with what I had seen along the street and everything else. What I saw now was more alarming still. A rectangular table with high-backed chairs around it, with some 15 people seated in these, and a number of others standing. in animated discussion groups. Discussions that I understood as much as a rooster entering a flock of chickens, all cackling at the same time. Upon noticing our presence in the room, all as in a chorus quieted and turned toward me. Certainly, the business they were talking about concerned me. Then my companion, I believed, presented me to them, offering a half dozen words, to which the majority nodded assent with their heads. After that, a gentleman of a certain age stood up. He was tall, some 2 meters tall, muscular but not fat, with a very noticeable face, contrasting with his dark hair, which was becoming scarce. Frankly, I always judge a person of good size against my 90 kilos and 1.76 meters high, but when I saw this giant, I felt pretty small beside him. With a frank smile on his lips, he addressed himself to me and taking me by the arm, to my surprise, spoke in correct German. "Sit down," indicating a chair near the table, where I sat down, and he did the same in another. I would like to clarify a point, since from here on, with the appearance of this personality, all that I said will be in German, since it will be difficult and dispensable to translate or to write our dialogues directly in Portuguese. And then, Wendell Stevens writes, "We offer English translation here." Continues. I ran my eyes over those present. 3 were women, 2 of them showing a certain age, and 1 apparently very young, perhaps of 20 years, more or less. Since my arrival, I had not taken the opportunity to look close at the woman, which I now gave a little more examination. They were not unpleasant of face, but their skin was so white that they gave the impression of having just come out of a hospital, where they have been interned for at least 2 months and had lost a lot of blood. Altogether, they were some 20 men. I continued my examination of those present when one of the giants interrupted me, asking various questions, among which was my name. I responded, "Arthur Burlett." "Arthur Warlock," he responded questioningly. "Arthur Burlett," I corrected him. He spoke a very acceptable German, only he frequently substituted one or the other consonants for C or K, for which he pronounced my name with a C. And besides that, he scarcely knew how to speak German. I am of German origin, Burlett writes, since my ancestors emigrated from Germany, bringing my father, still a boy, with them, who later married a Portuguese woman in Brazil. And you, sir, what are you called? I asked. A cork cut, he responded. I have spelled his name phonically here, leaving out unnecessary letters and accents. Already he was treating me with much naturalness, and I risked some questions. Are you German also? With a wide smile, he responded, no, not German. I am Akkadian. Akkadian? But what place is that? In what part of the world is it? To top all, he responded, in no part of earth, with all naturalness. I gulped dryly two or three times as I faltered. You, sir, say in no place of on earth? Yes, that is what I said. That confirmation wiped me out so much that I thought it would give me a heart attack. Worse still, he was standing in front of me smiling, as if he had just done me a favor. I brushed my forehead and asked incredulously, but finally, where are we then? Why did you bring me here, and what is going to happen to me? The others present seemed very attentive to our conversation, though they did not understand it. Nevertheless, they delighted themselves with a drink, which was also served me, but I did not touch it, not knowing what it was or its taste. I didn't want to risk it. Then he, with a calm and compassionate voice, said to me, in the first place, I want to advise you that you are in no danger, and that you are in the company of people who, despite knowing you scarcely a few hours, perhaps are more your friends than your own people, and more. Your coming here was almost incidental, or better said, accidental. How accidental? I asked. Well, it was never our intention to bring anyone of earth to here. When he said anyone of earth here, I said mentally, it must be that this here is the same outside the earth. Or this face is kidding with my lack of knowledge. There is not going to be anyone whose fault it is for having brought you. And with an animated smile, he said, but do not worry, because before the earth has rotated 10 times, you will be returned to there, only that... And the phrase was cut off. I was afraid to ask any more questions, because I was afraid to learn any more of this kind of news, that I was away from the earth and on another planet. I began to feel a kind of vertigo that left me completely paralyzed, functioning only mentally, which gave me solutions to many things that I had seen in these latest hours, until then without explanation. Well, well, he said, drawing me out of that trace, let us see. I don't know if you liked our foods when they gave you our first refreshments celebrated here, because we have some plates not known by you terrestrials, but in compensation we have others more like yours there, which are sure to please you. And after that I will give you more details of how you came there and how you will go back. I continued to listen to him, but without the power to respond, as even with the force of my voice would not come. I continued observing them and imitating them when I saw that two servers commenced to bring foods in containers which seemed to me to be of gold, but later I saw that it was not gold nor of metal, but a material that I could not recognize. The plates were of the same materials. The food was not very abundant. It seemed like it was being controlled so as to neither lack nor have excess. Once served to the table, all got up and did the same. They raised a piece of bread to the sky, and as I understood nothing they said, I raised an offering to God in my own manner. After the offering, all sat down and they commenced to serve. I waited until last so as to better observe their system. It was the same as ours. Each one served himself and passed the service on to another. They had some 8 to 10 classes of foods, of which I tried only 3. Meat, something like bread and honey, and another very much like rice. The others I was not tempted to taste, preferring to leave them for another occasion, if I might have it. During and after the meal, they conversed much among themselves. Certainly they spoke with respect to me, and by their gestures I saw that they clearly had divergences among them. As I understood nothing that they were saying, I remained resting on the chair and mentally drew a balance of my situation, which at that moment was as bad as possible. But as I already accustomed myself to accept the situation as an imposition of destiny, I continued guarding my disaffection come what may. Finally, it seemed to me that they came to an agreement, since they began to get up and depart, leaving scarcely my first friend and the one a cork. This last got up also and said, "My friend Tuek would like for you to remain here, but as he still does not understand, it is more sensible to take you to my company for the length of your stay here on a cart." My destiny depended on those gentlemen, and I tried to express my position. Then he smiled and continued, "We would likewise work this between the pair of us, and perhaps exchange ideas of what exists on earth and here on a cart." We took our leave of Tuvek, as they called my first friend there. After saying adios, I did not forget the customary compliment of the Akkadians. They do not give the hand, but place the hand on the shoulder for meeting as well as departure. To take leave of a more intimate person, they thus place both hands on each other's shoulders, and vice versa. We prepared to leave. I thought we would go out by the same corridor through which we had entered, but to my surprise, we went toward the back that gave into a terrace. In the light outside, the splendor of the buildings was overcoming. That was down to on page 37, and page 38 is missing on this ebook, so we have to continue to top on page 39. And he says, "That is fantastic. Then you are certainly head of Earth science. I suppose there are another terrains also. One could say that the scientists here are almost a divine intelligence. No, we are humans, with human brains and created by God. Could you say that here you are also believing God?" He gave me a quick hard look. I understood too late that I had offended him with my expression. Using for the first time with me a term of exasperation, he said, "Not only believe, but that we have and that we love. Pardon, I did not want to offend you. Is it pardon? Well, is that perhaps you do not know that all that exists was created by God?" "Yes. Or do you think that Earth was created by one God and Akkadia by another God?" "No, that is not what I wanted to say. It is that it is also strange. You, sir, should understand." "Yes, yes. Well, we are arriving at the city where I reside." Briskly curtailed our discussion. "Now I am going to show you the major city of Akkad." The major city of Akkad? "Yes, the greatest. It has approximately 90 million inhabitants." At that height, it took some 10 minutes that we had to wait for descent to Con. Later I learned that was what they called the first city that I knew on a cart, also Con. He pressed a button and boom, we were bathed with sun inside the machine. The ceiling of the cabin was double with a metallic layer outside, and the interior layer was of transparent glass-like material, which served to protect us when the outer part was retracted. We had a magnificent sight. We could look out to the front as well as above. Follow that, he tilted the machine to my side and said, "Look." I looked down with the machine flying, inclined above the city for several minutes. What I saw in those moments surpassed all that I had ever seen up to then in my life or could ever imagine. Nobody could make any judgment of that city without having seen with their own eyes. Even if he were the smartest engineer on earth. I was like a human ingesting ailments with my eyes. I have never experienced greater admiration than the sight of that city. I never tired of looking at the houses, those buildings, with the shine in their near totality. When I saw those marvels of Con, I continued to admire, but now my admiration was sometimes greater. He called my attention to something special, those other flying craft similar to that which we were flying, and were everywhere. I saw craft because at that time I didn't know that they were called what they were called. These came and went, ascending and descending above the city in great numbers. They reminded me of an ant hill when disturbed. One thing that impressed me was that those craft never collided, though they flew at great velocity. I don't think I took my eyes from them once, and my mouth was open much. However, we soon passed over the city. Suddenly he said, "What are you doing?" Swallowing heavily in a low voice, I said, "It is fantastic, marvelous." He laughed between his teeth and continued, "Well, let us go down. Now you are going to see my house and meet my family." "Yes, sir," I responded. Carefully controlling the machine, he followed a direct line until above a building of some 30 floors. We came up until parallel with a part with a narrow alleyway, almost like all those I had seen here on a cart, stopped and hovered more, some 40 meters above the roof. This had more the aspect of a sports field than a roof. There were several dozens of machines like ours hovering there in the city. Then we are going to down on page 40, and next page have a drawing of this air cars, and the text under this drawing is this air car powered by phenomenal solar motors in the standard means of personal transport, used by all the citizens of the superpopulated planet they call a cart. It is very maneuverable flying machine. And then the next chapter is for a friendly family, and we take that on another sound file, audio file.